Sportscast, September 3rd, 2019. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Periscope, and iTunes. And if you're in iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. And if you are in iTunes, please leave a rating and review. It will help us out tremendously. Visit us on thesportscast.net. Again, thesportscast.net. Week one of college football has finished. The biggest game of the weekend lived up to its hype. Or did Oregon did not live up to its hype? To join us is Ty Turner. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Hold on.
So Oregon lost against Auburn 27-21. Really close game, really tight. Ty, what happened in your what happened through your eyes?
Well, they lost. other than that, it was tale of a couple different halves. Obviously, Oregon had a very good start. Led throughout, actually led the whole game. But at the end, Auburn was able to steal the victory with 9 seconds left. And that's pretty much the game in a nutshell.
Justin Herbert had a huge run at the beginning of the game. Then he gave the ball to C.J. Verdell for a 1 yard run to make it a touchdown 7-0. And then
he had a huge pass.
Yeah,
he didn't have a huge run. He had a huge pass.
Yeah, huge pass. And then which happened at the 10 minute mark. And then of course Auburn in the first quarter had a field goal kick, a 40 yard field goal that made it 7-3. And then 2 minutes and 11 seconds left, Spencer Webb had a 20-yard pass from Herbert and made it 14-3. And then then before the half, there was a field goal by Auburn, made it 14-6. You guys were looking good in the first half.
Yeah, I mean, in general, we dominated the first half. But a couple other plays that are really big was we had the ball, I think it started off, we got down into the red zone, we got down to the 2 yard line, and on third and goal, he throws a pass to wide receiver Brian Addison and he dropped it. He was wide open, no one was around him, hit him right in the hands, and that would have been they would have been up 14-0 if he would have caught that. And so then they did a 19 yard field goal, which I didn't understand quite why they were doing a field goal, because I'm like, you're at the 2 yard line, just go for it. You know, you're playing in a big game against a good team. Just go for it. Well, they kicked field goal, and the guy missed a 19-yard field goal. Like, what Division I college kicker misses a 19-yard? That's not even an extra point. It's so short. So that was the first one. And the second one was after a long, I think it was a 55-yard punt return by Jevin Holland. They had the ball first and goal at the 8-yard line. Herbert and Verdell fumbled on the exchange, and Nick Coe picks it up and ran it to – he was actually going to score. Brian Addison ran him down from behind, caught him at like the 5-yard line, and actually Auburn didn't score a touchdown there. They're held to a field goal. But that was a couple turn events, drop touchdown, missed field goal, and then the fumble in the red zone. It could have been, if you would have caught that touchdown – and if they could have put it in for a touchdown, they could have been up 28-3 by the early second quarter. So, really, the first half in general was very much dominated by Oregon.
The third quarter, Oregon did begin by scoring by Darian Felix 6-yard run. What did you think about that play?
You know, once again, they were able to get the ball back. Well, I think Auburn had the ball first. I think they went 3 and out, and then they kicked it to Oregon, and Oregon drove the ball. I can't remember exactly how far, but it was about 60 yards, and they finished it off with a touchdown. So, yeah, at that point, it's midway through the third quarter. It's a 21-6 lead by Oregon.
How would you rate Mario Cristobal's play calling this past game?
He's not the play caller, so it's kind of hard to rate him.
No, sorry. How'd you think he did coaching this game?
Okay. Yep, he's not the play caller, so he gets incomplete on that one. How did he do it managing the game? Well, he's been torn apart by the media. I think it specifically, it was like little things here and there. He actually called a timeout to start the game. That was kind of weird. I don't know why you need to call a timeout before the game has even started. That was a strange move. That's probably the third time he's done that since he's been head coach. I'm not even kidding. Third time he started a game with a timeout. Don't ask me why. It's always been on the road. It was in the bowl game against Boise State 2 years ago. It was against Washington State last year in Pullman. And now is this game. He started the game with a timeout. I don't know if it's a thing. I don't know what the purpose of that is, but it's happened. He also, late in the game, had 4th-and-1. Justin Herbert was taken out of the game. He was down because of an injury. He got he wasn't really injured. He got his knee bruised. He clashed knees. It's more something that hurts really bad. It's not really an injury. Well, he called a timeout. First it was the injury. Then he called a timeout. And he was going to try to put Herbert back in, but then when he found out Herbert couldn't go back in, then he called another timeout. So he wasted 2 timeouts on one play. And the play they came up with was a basic read, and it got stuffed, and Auburn got the ball back, and then that ended up leading to their game-winning touchdown. So it was either Marcus Arroyo as the play caller and Cristobal is the head coach. But in the second half, start off the game. They had all these injuries at wide receiver. They had 3 of the top 6 wide receivers out, 2 projected starters in Brendan Schooler and Juwan Johnson. They had one of the co-starters at tight end, Cam McCormick, out. So arguably 4 of their top pass catchers were out. So you knew they had to do something different in order to open up the pass game, because you're just missing a lot of your talented receivers. And that was the most questionable group to begin the season with anyway. Even with everyone, there was a question mark because of how they played last season. Now, they had a good grad transfer come in. They signed a good recruiting class and brought in a couple of good guys. And so you thought they looked pretty good. Well, they had all these injuries, so then they're a huge question mark again. So you knew they had to do something to open it up. Well, they did good. They did good in the first half. They were calling RPOs, which is run pass option. They were doing quick shots, and then they would go to intermediate shots, and then they even took a couple of shots down the over the top. They had the long 45-yard catch to Johnny Johnson on the first series. They had the 30-yard touchdown to Spencer Webb. And it was a great – they're calling the game great. Run, short to intermediate passes, and then pass over the top. It was unpredictable. It was nice play calling. Second half, it became a lot more predictable. And it pretty much was only short. There really wasn't a lot of intermediate or even over the top at all. And then it was running, and then the line wasn't getting quite as good a push. I think Auburn put another guy in the box. I think they brought another safety up to help make them basically force them to pass and take away the run. And I just didn't feel like the coaches adjusted very well. And then some of those time management with the timeouts and the overall just very conservative play calling, it played caused the game to slowly slip away. But Auburn did some good things. I mean, Auburn started to wear them down. Auburn ran the ball very good in the second half. Bo Nix made a couple of really nice passes at the right time. I don't know if they're beautiful, but he caught them off guard in the one, threw a touchdown. Two different times he caught them off guard pretty much and threw a touchdown. Both times the defense wasn't really set. He did a quick count and got the ball out and they made the plays. And I think both times those were just kind of called plays was called plays by Bo Nix, realizing the defense wasn't really set. So, they made some plays. Bo Nix made some plays. They ran the ball well. The defense played better. They made Auburn Oregon more one-dimensional, and they were able to come back and win it. So,
what did you think about Bo Nix's performance?
I mean, he didn't play very well in the second half. Didn't play very well in the first half. Threw a couple of interceptions. Didn't really complete very many passes. Second half, played a little better, managed the game better, and he got the game-winning touchdown. It was not great, but he won the game. So,
Yeah, Bo Nix had 170 yards, two touchdowns, two interceptions. Justin Herbert had 242 yards and one touchdown. C.J. Verdell had 76 yards. Travis Dye had 23 yards. Receiving-wise, Johnny Johnson III had 98 yards, and Jalen Redd had 64 yards. What did you think about Oregon's Oregon's defense?
Played well. Played very well. Played a good game.
What are a few things you would take from this game that Oregon needs to improve on? Obviously, we know they have injuries in the wide receivers, but besides that, what do you think they need to improve on?
I mean, the coaches could play. I mean, the players or the coaches? I mean,
overall, if you think it's the coaches, it is what it is.
I think as far as the team, I just, you know, they have a good, solid defense, have a good secondary, a good defensive line. They're not going to play pretty much anyone as talented. USC, but USC is a mess. But Auburn is probably the most talented team they're going to play all year long. So, I mean, they have a good defense. They have a good offense. Problem is they have injuries at wide receiver, and unfortunately you just can't. There's not a whole lot you can do about that. Guys get healthy. I think guys like Juwan Johnson, Cam McCormick, you know, they're going to be back within the next week or two. And then Brendan Schooler and Michael Pittman will probably be back, like, by the Cal game, which is the fifth game of the season. So that will get better on its own. There's a lot more guys that get injured. You have some young receivers like Spencer Webb, who obviously made that amazing catch. He's playing receiver now. He was a tight end. And you have freshman guys like Josh Delgado and Brian Addison. Addison obviously had the one really bad drop. But I think they'll get better. You know, heal up, get better, and play the game that you did. You're ahead the whole game. You're up by 15 in the third quarter. I mean, Oregon was – I thought it was a pretty even match, and it kind of really was a pretty even match. I just thought that Herbert was going to win the game, not Nix. But Nix also made a couple picks, just like I predicted, and made a couple mistakes, just like I predicted, and – Oregon probably didn't capitalize on them enough. And, you know, in the end, Auburn was able to steal the game. And a couple injuries at wide receiver and the inability maybe to go a little more vertical on them made it them be able to play a little better defense in the second half. I think they're able to tighten up the defense because of the lack of vertical threat. But as a whole, yeah, and the coaches have to manage a better game. They have to be consistent in their play calling. They have to be consistent in their time management, and I just say a little better game by the coaching, to be honest with you, because in tougher games they're going to play better against better coaches, and they can't get outcoached. And so far in Mario Cristobal's career, he's been outcoached a couple times in close games. He just has,
which we talked about in the college preview show, that you know, that we thought that maybe Mario Cristobal could outcoach Gus, but I guess, you know, things turned around. Gus outcoached Mario.
Well, I didn't say he's gonna outcoach Gus.
I mean, it was Justin Riley that said that, but you didn't say that. But
yeah, I don't know where he's coming up with that. Gus Malzahn has proven. Well, no, I mean, I don't know what you're laughing at. I mean,
but Gus has more experience. Gus Malzahn.
Yeah, I mean, Gus Malzahn played for a national title.
Yeah. Mario has.
What is Mario? No, Mario Cristobal had a losing record at FIU. I know it was a tough situation there, and he really inherited just a bad job. And he ended up getting fired, and he ended up working under Saban as a, you know, the offensive line coach and the recruiting coordinator. But the fact is Gus Malzahn's a more proven head coach. I remember when Justin said that, I was like, "What are you talking about?" Well, I was right.
You're right.
I didn't
about
think
that.
He was going to outcoach. Yeah, I didn't think he was going to outcoach Gus Malzahn. Malzahn's more experienced. He's proven more. I don't think right now Cristobal needs to get better, because so far, last two years, I've seen him, and including the bowl game against Boise State the year before when he took over, I've seen Mario Cristobal straight up be outcoached several times. I've seen David Shaw for Stanford outcoach him. I saw Mike Leach for Washington State outcoach him. I saw Kyle Whittingham of Utah coach him, and I saw Gus Malzahn of Auburn coach him. So I've seen five instances where Mario Cristobal's poor time management, some bad from, like, he's not the play caller, but he still is the one in charge of the team. If he can tell the play caller, hey, keep up the pace, keep moving the ball, keep taking shots, keep it going. And then if you can't execute it, then that's on the players. I mean, if you can't exit, guys are dropping balls, that's not the coach's fault. I mean, if they're inconsistent, and you look at the wide receivers coach, why are they not more consistent? You do look at the coaching. But for the most part, if you look at, like, bad time management, poor play calling, inconsistencies in a game plan, that falls on coaching more than anything else. That's where coaching is very significant. And when a game is even, as far as, like, talent, and that's what it was. Auburn and Oregon were pretty dang even when it came to talent. And honestly, the difference was they're the better coach team in that game.
The next three games for Oregon is Nevada, Montana, and Stanford. The Stanford game will be on September 21st. That's the next big game. That's something that we're looking forward to it. But what are your thoughts about that game? I know it's in 3 weeks, but is that a game that obviously has been turned into a must-win?
As far as being in the college football playoff or what?
Winning the Pac-12 and potentially going to the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, for them to make the playoff, they have to win out, plain and simple. Oregon can't lose again to make the playoff. If they do win out, they will have won 12 straight games, would have won the Pac-12, would have had some quality victories over teams like Stanford, Washington State, and Utah. You know, if they can win out, they have and then they barely lost this game, and take into account that they had so many wide receivers injured, which they do. The committee takes in, if people are missing key players at key positions, that does come into play if it happened in a close loss. So, yeah, I think if they win out, they have a chance. But if they don't, you know, they're out of the playoffs. As far as the Pac-12, you know, they're undefeated in Pac-12 play. They haven't won, they haven't lost. So a loss to Stanford would put them in the loss column, but, you know, come back and beat other teams like Washington and Washington State. I think Stanford is a little bit outmanned, especially now that KJ Costello's out. I don't know how long he's out for, but he's their starting quarterback. He's out currently. And Walker Little, who is their All-American projected first-round draft pick, he's out for an extended period of time with a knee injury. So Stanford's their offense didn't look very good the other day. I saw them play against Northwestern. It was 17-7. One of their touchdowns was a defensive touchdown. Their offense doesn't look very good with two of their best offensive players. I don't think it's at Stanford, but Stanford home field advantage at Stanford's not that great. Paul Alto does not exactly fill the seats.
I wonder why.
And also it's Northern California, where there's a lot of Ducks, and they usually get a pretty good turnout. Duck fans do in Northern California. So I think I'd be surprised if Stanford beat Oregon. And Oregon's going to come out, really, because we blew that game last year at home. And that's one of our biggest rivals. I mean, that's our perhaps. And that the senior class is coming back of Justin Herbert, Troy Dye, Shane Lemieux. They've never beaten Stanford. They lost every time. So between that, being a North rival, what happened last year, and the fact that I just don't think Stanford's that good, I think Oregon's going to beat them. And also, Juwan Johnson, Cam McCormick, I think Lance Wilhut, a freshman, will be back. Pretty much the only two guys that won't be back for that game for the receiver position is Brendan Schooler and Micah Pittman. And once again, as I said before, Schooler, it's more the leadership role. I don't think he's necessarily as good a receiver as, like, even a Red or a Johnny Johnson III or a Juwan Johnson or maybe even a Spencer Webb. So I think once they get a couple of those guys back, the receiving core will be better. I feel pretty confident right now, unless Mario Cristobal just somehow loses the game for his team.
You sound very disappointed with him, don't you?
It's his game. Okay. Being a good coach comes down to several different – there's so many different factors that go into being a good coach. If you want to – as a recruiter, Mario Cristobal is one of the greatest recruiters for any head coach in college football. He's a terrific recruiter. He always was a terrific recruiter. He's also a very good leader. He's a good motivator. He has a type A alpha personality. You could tell the guys really play hard for him. It's not like the culture's bad. He's a good culture guy. Like, so the culture of Oregon is like, you know, they're you could tell it's strong. They play hard and they're motivated. You could tell that. Where Mario Cristobal is, some of the details is where he struggles, and he needs to get better at. And it's just, for one, he seems to panic a little bit in games. He sometimes gets too overtly conservative. And, I think little details of managing games is where a guy that, more experienced guys, maybe little guys that maybe are a little just more calm under pressure. Some coaches can be very calm amidst the greatest turmoil. They can just be calm. It's the gift more than anything else. Probably a learned trade a little bit, but the gift of just staying calm and trusting the process. And I think he probably needs to do that sometimes more. Seems like he goes off of script and when things don't go on script, and it like panics him a little bit. And you can't panic. You have to stay in control. Because you're the head coach of a football team. You're the guy that is leading all these guys onto the field and calling plays and making decisions. So, that part. But yeah, back to Stanford game. I think Oregon's just better talent wise. And I also think, they're going to be very motivated. They lost last year. It's a big rival. I think they win that game. I don't think their schedule's that hard. I just don't. I don't think the teams are as talented as them. Man.
All I'm saying is Stanford Washington State. And then Washington, obviously. Those three games.
Washington. Washington's a tough game. Yeah. Washington's a tough game.
That's the biggest game after Auburn.
Yeah. Yeah. I pretty much have it. Like, I still don't have I'm not totally sure. Like, Peterson's a better coach than Cristobal.
I've heard.
As of right now.
I've heard, yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that means one of our coaches in college football.
I mean, some people even say he's third after Saban and the Clemson coach.
Well, yeah, because if you go back to Boise State, he's just been a winner. He's won 10-plus games in his 12 years as head coach, like, every year but, like, two. And that was, like, his first 2 years at Washington. When Washington, he inherited a team that just wasn't very good. So, yeah, I mean, he's a good coach, and it's at Washington. They're very good at Washington. I think they're like 22-1 over the last 4 years. I'm not giving them that game yet. I'm gonna see how they play. I'm gonna see how they play. I think they win the next five. I'm gonna see exactly how they look, and then if they go in there just rocking and rolling, and maybe Washington doesn't look as good. Maybe Washington does look a little inconsistent, then yeah. But if I was going to say right now, I think Washington wins. And I think Oregon finishes 10-2. Yep, watch the Arizona State game. It's on the road. USC's a mess, and they lost their starting quarterback.
ACL.
To playing a true freshman. Who knows what happens with them? They could be 2-10 this year. Like, I just don't know. I wouldn't trust them.
It's not a walkover
yet. Who else is? Washington State's a tough game, but I really think Oregon, it is coming off the Washington game, which does worry me, but that Washington State has beat us 4 years in a row. The guys have never beaten them, and it's at Austin Stadium. I think the crowd will really come out for that game because that's actually the best home game. Like, all their best games are on the road this year, like Auburn, Washington, Stanford.
That's a tough
schedule.
But
their best home game is against Washington State. So I think they come out there, and I think because of the talent advantage and the home field advantage that they beat Washington State. But Mike Leach, got to always watch him. He's a very good coach.
And, of course, don't forget the Oregon State game, the very last one.
What about it?
Nothing. It's just rivalry, state rivalry, but there's not much going on there.
Oregon State's not going to beat them.
I know.
I mean, we've beaten Oregon State by, like, 50 points last year and, like, 60 the year before. I mean, no. Did you see their defense the other night? Oregon State's not beating
I've been
Oregon
very sarcastic in that comment. But,
like, yeah, you might. Oregon State, they might not even win. They wouldn't even win the FCS championship, let alone beat Oregon.
Oregon has dropped to the 16th spot in the AP top 25 poll. Oregon, Auburn went up to 10th. Which is not surprisingly. So Oregon's not in a bad position, but if they keep winning it out, maybe they'll, you know, scoot up a little bit. But, you know, 16th is farther a little bit, but it's okay. Another big game.
Well, they're fine. That's not a big drop. 16.
Yeah, that's not bad. I mean, they lost. It could have been worse.
You think, guys, there's like two teams that are going to lose in front of them this weekend. They could be moving up after this weekend.
Yeah. Florida went to 11th.
No, but there's like, who's playing this weekend?
I will I'll let you know.
Well, I mean, like LSU and Texas
play this weekend. Texas A&M, Clemson,
Texas A&M,
and then Nevada,
Oregon. And
there's
other good teams
Nevada's not good.
And there's other, yeah, there's other good games going on this weekend that could have higher ranked teams losing. So they're fine. I mean, number 16, they could easily get back into the top group.
Yeah. Let's look into also Florida going to 11th. Do you agree with that ranking?
Oh, read me the AP poll.
Oh, yeah. Okay, AP. I'll
super busy.
Go for first. First, Clemson, then Alabama, then the Bulldogs, Georgia. Fourth is Oklahoma, then Ohio State. Sixth, LSU, then Michigan. Eighth, Notre Dame. And then Texas, Auburn goes at 10th, Florida 11th, Texas A&M at 12th, Utah 13th, 14th Washington, the Nittany Lions, Penn State goes 15th, and 16th Oregon, Wisconsin is 17th, and UCF, Michigan State, Iowa, Orange, Syracuse, Washington State, Stanford, and Boise State for 24th, then Nebraska, and then Iowa State. So, wow, Nebraska is 25th.
Hold on. Okay, you just said Iowa State. Where's Iowa State?
Iowa State is below Nebraska. I guess they, which are tied for 25th.
Okay. And who's 24th?
24th is Boise State.
Okay, who's 23rd?
23rd is Stanford.
Okay, who's 22nd? Sorry,
Washington State
there for a while.
Washington State 22nd.
Okay, who's 21st?
Syracuse, and then Iowa.
Okay.
Then Michigan State.
20.
Then
19.
UCF 18. Then Wisconsin, and then Oregon.
Okay. I got it now. Okay. Sorry. The last bit, it was.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you were cutting in and out, but I couldn't really hear the teams you were saying. Okay. Yeah. Florida dropping 11th. I agree with that. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, they didn't play very good the first week. So Auburn deserved. Yeah. Auburn should have jumped over them. And at 9, I'd say, yeah, that's good. Texas 9. That's cool.
Another,
you got a top 10 matchup, and A&M's 12, and A&M plays against Clemson. Oh, yeah, that's good.
Another big game of the weekend, which was really hyped up, was Oklahoma beating Houston 49-31, but obviously it was about Jalen Hurts' first game at Oklahoma. Did you see the game, and what were your thoughts?
You know, I didn't watch much of the game. I heard Jalen Hurts had a really good game. I mean, it's hard to look bad in Lincoln Riley's offense. Lincoln Riley is one of the best. It is not one of the best, probably the best offensive mind in college football. So it's not surprising their offense just rolls. You know, I mean, they're going to score points, and quarterback just needs to be able to execute what is out there for him, which is a lot of talented guys, talent wide receiver, talent running back, and just a great offensive scheme. So I wasn't surprised.
Good game by Jalen Hurts. Of course, Nick Saban had a few things to say that he's really happy and proud of Jalen Hurts, and he claims that he never saw the game, but he heard about it. And of course, Jalen Hurts, you know, this is his new team with Oklahoma. Of course, there's now talks about, you know, will Oklahoma go to the playoffs and things like that. But yeah, amazing offense. Their defense is still not good because they just let them score 31 points. But you know, we'll see what happens.
You know, yeah, I guess their defense gave up 31. And I mean, probably a little bit of a culture thing going on. But, yeah, they have a great offense.
Anything else before we head into predictions?
Oh, well, ask me a question, man. Pretty arbitrary.
Well, Djokovic retires from the U.S. Open. That was a big one.
Yeah, he did. Yeah,
left shoulder.
That stung for me.
Was aching.
Yeah, I remember he hurt it in the second round, and it didn't look great, and he was kind of being vague about it. And he won the next round, but I could tell he wasn't hitting the ball very good. He was just so much better than the guy. But then when he played Wawrinka, and Wawrinka's a good player, a guy that had Djokovic's number at the time. He beat him in the French final, beat him in the U.S. Open final before. So, yeah, he was really racking it, and Djokovic was struggling just to really hit the ball solid because of that shoulder, and then he retired. So, yeah, it's unfortunate. Hopefully he rests up and he's ready to go next year. So, yeah.
Looking forward to it. And they say it might be a Federer-Nadal final.
It could be. I'm going to probably watch it if it gets to that, maybe. But, you know, golf and tennis. I like Woods. I like Djokovic. I'm a fan. You know what? How I look at it is, I know maybe for you it doesn't work out as good, but I'm a fan. I never want to lose my fandom when it comes to sports. It's just how I was growing up. I was a fan first. I'll cover stuff, you know, write a little stuff here and there. But I'm a fan. I'm a fan. I like my guy. I like my team. And if they're not doing well, then I really, I might not watch any more of a tournament. I might not watch any college football for like a while, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just kind of my fandom. And unless I was getting paid to be a sports analyst, which I'm not.
Which you may be in the future. We'll see
if it happens. But until that, because if you're a sports analyst, it doesn't matter if your team, quote unquote, that you like is losing, you still got to be putting out the product, right?
Correct.
Right? They don't care. You know, you work for ESPN, they're like, oh, my Clemson Tigers lost, which never happens. But or you're like, whatever. You're
your
like,
Oregon
my
Ducks
USC
lost.
Trojans, my USC Trojans stink, so I'm not writing articles for a year. And you're like, well, you're fired. The job. But me, I kind of like it. If I got a job to be a good paying job to be a sports analyst, I'd be like, oh, that's cool. And then I would do the job. But until then, I'm a fan. I like being a fan. And if it's just, I like following it, I like tracking it. But then I'm temperamental. When my team's losing, I don't want any part of it for a while. So, yeah, that's kind of how it is with sports like tennis, golf, boxing. If my guy loses,
it was a tough weekend for you, wasn't it?
Probably won't watch any more tennis. I don't like Nadal, Federer. They're not my guys. So,
what's the next Open after this one? Is it like the Australian, or this is it for the year?
No. That's it for the year. Australian's in January.
That's right.
So hopefully Djokovic can rest up. It worries me a little bit. I followed Novak Djokovic throughout his career. Obviously, he's my dude. You know, when he gets hurt, sometimes it takes a long, long time for him to recover.
Oh, no.
And he's been injured a couple other times, and he went 2 years without winning a major once. Another time, he came back, but he was doing well, but he was struggling a little to like finish it, and he was finishing second. I think he won like one major in 2 years. So a couple other times in his run that has been very good, he's been knocked off. He's not been able to win it for quite some time. So
the Joker.
Hopefully he heals up. His best tournament is Australian, so we'll be able to tell if he's healed up by there.
Speaking about the Joker, have you seen the new Joker trailer?
No.
I have. Robert
De
Niro came out like the latest one. So
isn't it Joaquin Phoenix?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Okay.
Perfect guy for the character.
Yeah, I thought
perfect guy.
Yeah. Perfect. Yep.
Okay, let's get into predictions. Texas A&M versus Clemson.
You know, I think A&M's a pretty good team. I like Kellen Mond. I like the talent they have on the roster. I think actually when you break down, because, you know, I do my team talent formula, team talent composite, when you break it down to specifically just roster talent, I don't think there's a crazy difference. But this game is in Clemson. You're also dealing with one of the best coaches in college football, Dabo Sweeney. You're dealing with probably the best assortment of offensive and defensive staff. They've all been together for a long time. They're all experienced. You know, guys like Brent Venables at DC, Tony Elliott, and Jeff Scott at coordinator. And then the fact that you have probably the best, most talented quarterback, the best quarterback in college football, arguably. All of that, I think it's a lot of pluses in Clemson's favor and a lot of minuses in Texas A&M. I think Texas A&M will give them a game, but I think in the end, Clemson wins.
Clemson, Dabo Sweeney, they look pretty good on Saturday. So, but obviously they played at a small school, so we'll see. This is a bigger match, so hopefully we'll see some like the best. LSU Tigers versus Texas Longhorns.
Is this at Texas?
I said Texas Longhorns, yeah.
No. Where is it at?
It's in Texas, correct.
It's at Texas?
This is the biggest game of the weekend. Yep.
So yes. Are you sure it's at Texas, not at a neutral site?
I could double check for you because that could be neutral. You're right. That could be too.
Some reason I thought I heard it was at a neutral site. But
let me double check.
And that would make.
Okay, they're playing. Okay, they're playing on ABC, of course. But okay, LSU versus Texas. It makes a big difference where they're playing at, don't they?
Yeah.
Oh gosh, I can't find it. Okay, I'm Googling it. Venue, location. I think it's in Austin, Texas.
It's at Texas, yep.
Royal Texas Memorial Stadium. Okay. I've been there. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. Oh, you have?
No, I haven't.
All right. Oh, you haven't?
Okay. I wish I did.
Then why'd you say you've been there?
I want to go there. You should go.
Okay. well, you know, LSU's offense looked better under the new OC. The roster talent's pretty close. Probably slight edge to LSU. I like LSU much better defensively. I like Sam Ellinger as a quarterback. You've heard me speak about that. I think he's one of the better, just like a college players. He's a very good college player. He's at Texas. I like that. It's a good game. You know, I think I'm going to go with Texas. I'm going to go because it's at home.
Wow.
I think they're going to win it late. I think the crowd gets behind them. I think Sam Ellinger is able to make just a couple more plays than Joey Burrow. I'm going to take Texas. I think there's going to be some points scored. I think LSU has the ability to score a few more points. I think LSU has good defense, so I think they do stop them a little bit. But I think it's like a 31-27 victory.
You know, and if Texas wins, yeah, it wouldn't be an upset. It would be like, oh, okay.
Yeah. I think maybe LSU's favorite.
Yeah, LSU's probably favored,
a little bit, but,
you know, by Vegas odds.
A little bit, but yeah.
And finally, Nevada versus Oregon.
Oh, there's no other? Because isn't there some other good games?
I pull up the ranking games. So the ones that really are ranked high, but
yeah.
Go for Nevada and Oregon, and then I'll look for the other ones.
Nevada and Oregon, I really think Nevada did pull off the upset over Purdue. They're way down, too. They're down 24-7 at the half. Purdue was definitely looking like they had control of the game. They made a couple mistakes, a couple turnovers, and all of a sudden Nevada started making plays. And then they make a crazy 56-yard field goal to end the game to win it. That being said, it's at Allison Stadium. I think Oregon, I believe they're going to respond like kind of with fury because of the loss that happened with last weekend. I think they really respond. I think it's a pretty easy victory. Justin Herbert has a pretty good game. I don't think Nevada is very strong on the defensive side. If anything, it's going to be their offense that maybe is able to put up I think it's a pretty easy victory. I think it's, Yeah,
it should be, as expected. USC, Stanford. Stanford at USC. Is that something you want to predict on?
Yeah. That's an interesting game. That's an interesting game. USC lost a quarterback, but then Stanford might be without their quarterback.
Wow.
Stanford's without their lineman. It's at USC. I don't have a great feel on it. Somehow, I just like the culture with Stanford and David Shaw better than Clay Helton. I'm going to go Stanford, but I don't think it's a great game.
California at Washington.
It's actually a tricky game, believe it or not. Cal beat Washington last year, and their team kind of gives the way that Justin Wilcox plays ball kind of gives a team like Washington trouble because they make the game really slow, kind of ugly. And Washington hasn't been a great offensive team. So then it kind of becomes this low scoring shootout, which Cal has a good defense, and they're able to kind of take advantage of that. So if it gets into an ugly game, it's a game to watch. I do think Washington's a better team, more talented team. So I'm going to take Washington.
Arkansas at Ole Miss.
I guess Arkansas. I don't know.
That's a big SEC game. Nebraska at Colorado.
I was going to say, that's not a big SEC game. Those are like two bottom dwellers in the SEC.
Big time.
Big for who?
For Justin. But anyway, big game for him.
You think that's a big game? Well, if you think that's a big game, then just because he's an SEC homer, that's not a big game. Those teams, there's a good chance neither of those teams make a bowl game. Nebraska versus Colorado. Yeah, I wasn't impressed with Nebraska. Was not impressed with them on Saturday. You've heard a lot of hype coming in the off season. Could have been they were playing South Alabama, FCS school. First game, but they were not. They were not impressive. They won 35-21 with two touchdowns coming on defense and one on special teams. Take those away, they actually got scored offense by a FCS school. Adrian Martinez turned the ball over a couple times. Pretty bad turnovers. It just wasn't great. I mean, they just did not play a very clean game. It was not a great performance by Nebraska. That being said, I really think they're going to come out this week, and I think they're going to be better. I think they're better than Colorado, and I think they beat Colorado. But, yes, I hope to see a little better performance out of the Cornhuskers this week, especially offensively.
The Cornhuskers make another statement this weekend. Random question, if Kobe Bryant has the ball and you need to stop him for your life, which player would you put in to stop him? Scottie Pippen, Michael Jordan, Gary Payton, Wade, Ben Wallace, Kawhi Leonard, Rodman, Draymond Green, LeBron James, or Kevin Garnett? Who would you put to stop Kobe?
There's so many guys.
I know. One of them.
All of them? No. For a defensive?
One defense guy.
Stop it.
Scotty MJ.
Probably a good defensive guy. I would say Kawhi Leonard. He's long. He's a tough guy to really shoot over. And he's a tough guy to go around. He's a really good defensive player. Kawhi Leonard.
Everyone's picking, Scotty Pippen or like Dennis Rodman. I don't know why. But that's a good one.
He could go by Rodman. Now, I don't know about Pippen is good.
Yeah,
probably Pippen would be second.
Who's your third?
Someone long that you can't. Yeah, I'd probably say Pippen and then probably Draymond. Like a guy who's long but then is also quick and you can't go by him.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like Michael Jordan wasn't a good defender either. Like I thought he would have been a good choice.
He was.
But,
yeah, he was.
Well, some say he saved
Michael
his energy
good
towards his his offense. But
no, he was like a 10-time first team all defense.
Wow. And yeah. I saw him, like, he wouldn't guard well. He had trouble guarding Reggie Miller as well, but that's just another.
Well, he had trouble. He's just not quite as big a guy. So a guy that was a little longer could shoot over him. And that's where, like, length, when it comes to basketball or football, guys that are really long, they're tough to get around, throw balls over, shoot balls over, because they're long. They can reach up and knock your ball away. So
exactly.
That's where having really long arms and being a long individual is positive.
Ty, how can people reach you to talk to you about Mario Cristobal's coaching?
At TurnerCast.
I know you're very, very frustrated, but Mario's just, he's a young coach, 2-year head coach already. So we'll see, he's growing up and hopefully.
Did you say, by his coach, yeah, that's just a game calling again. I'm no. But never mind.
Anyways, visit us on thesportscast.net. Ty, I appreciate you coming on.
Thank you.